Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soito Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 3 lines from the top. Before we begin the actual shiur, we notice a triangle series marking, and on the side of our Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, Mivneh structural note, we've written Memros Shel Reb Ilah ben Yevrachya, a series of comments made by Reb Ilah. Rubam Be'inyan Shnei Talmidei Chachamim. You'll see that most of the comments have this in common with them: the issue concerning 2 Torah scholars. The Gemara. Omar Reb Ilah ben Yevrachya. Ilmolei Tfilasu Shel David, if not for the prayer of King David, Hoyu Kol Yisrael Moichrei Revav, then all of the Jewish people would have been sellers of revav. Revav is a substance that's in the realm of fats and oils. Rashi, on the third line from the top, says, Mochri revav, revav hu dover mous. It's something that is disgusting. Kagon chelev v'shumon. Chelev and shumon are animal fats. V'nidbak b'vgodim. The animal fats stain clothing, v'nim osim, and make them disgusting. V'ein l'cha odom misasek bohem ela oni. The only people who would involve themselves in this trade are the poor. Shenemar, the posuk that indicates Ravilo's observation is, Shisa Hashem Moira Lahem. And we look at Rashi, Shisa Hashem Moira Lahem le'el minei ksiv. Prior to this, this is posuk Chof Aleph, but in Pasuk Yud Tes, it says, Ki lo lenetzach ishochach evyon, tikvas aniyim tovad lo'ad. The context of this Pasuk is the endurance of the poor, the everlasting phenomenon of the impoverished. Shisa Hashem Moira Lahem, Rashi goes on, this is a quote from what we just saw in our Gemara, Tein Lohem Marut, give them authority, Lo'isim Aniyim, to those impoverished, Osher, give them wealth, Shiu Hagoyim Noagim Bohem Kovod, so that the Gentiles will respect them, V'yedu Hagoyim Shehen Enosh V'enom Elohus Shehen Kol HaKovod V'agdulo Shelahem, so that the Goyim will know that they are people and that they're not God forms that have all the honor coming to them. So that by David HaMelech praying that the Jewish poor should have wealth, then it won't leave room for the idol worshippers to think that they are God forms. The Gemara continues, V'omar Rav Ilah ben Yevrachya, il molet filoso shel Chavakuk, if not for the prayer of the prophet Chavakuk, hoyu shnei tamidei chachamim miskasim betalis echad ve'oiskim betura. Then Torah sages would have been so impoverished that 2 would have shared 1 cloak and learned Torah like that. Shenemar, the posuk says, Hashem shomati shimacho, yoresi Hashem pa'olcha bekerev shanim chayehu. Al tikra bekerev shanim ela bekiruv shnayim. Rashi explains, bekerev shanim, oisa pu'ula shelcha dainu dvar Torah, shi bekiruv shnayim, shishnayim tzich niskarev yachad bekisu echad. Chayehu. In other words, so far, Rashi explained that the posuk mentioned Pa'olcha, your workings, the Almighty's workings. That's a reference to the Torah of the Almighty, Well, it would have been with two people drawing so close to one another that they'd have to share, that because of their need to share one garment, chayehu. This was at the end of the pasuk we saw quoted, rifaehu viharvach viharveach lohem v'sein lehem chiyusam. Help them, enliven them, give them parnosa, give them sustenance that they don't have to live like that. So we continue just explaining the last phrase we read in the Gemara, which said, Al tikra bekerev shanim, don't read it as that, but rather bekiruv shnayim. Bekiruv shnayim means the two coming close together because out of necessity. And the culmination of the pasuk was chayehu, improve their situation that they don't have to live like that. The Gemara continues, V'yomar Rav Ilo bar Yevar Chiyo. Shnei tamidei chachamim hamahalchim baderech ve'ein beinayim divrei Torah, two Torah scholars that are walking together on the road, and they're not discussing words of Torah topics, ru'uyin lisorif beish, they deserve to be consumed in fire. Shenemar, and here we'll have a pasuk which demonstrates a situation where they are talking in Torah and were spared from fire. This pasuk describes the prophets Eliyahu Hanavi and Elisha. Vayihem ahuchem holoch v'daber. They were walking and talking. V'nei rechev esh v'chule. And a fiery chariot came between them, separated them. And no one was hurt. Taimo diko dibur. Because there was dibur, the word v'daber indicates dibur. And dibur is associated with divrei Torah, with talking in Torah learning. Ha leko dibor, if there wasn't dibor, then that rechev esh, that fiery chariot, would have burnt them, ru'uyin lisar, if they would have been deserving of burning. V'yomer Rav Ila bar Yevar Chiya, shnei talmidei chachamim, hadorn birachas, v'ein noichin ze lozeh balocha, two talmidei chachamim that dwell in one city, and they do not coexist in within the realm of acknowledging one another's halachic rulings. In other words, they live together in the same town and in constant controversy, halachic controversy. Echod meis ve'echod goyla. One will die and the other will go into exile. Shenemar, the pasuk says, lanus shama roitzeach asher yitzach. There's in this pasuk there's reference to lanus is to go into exile. The pasuk specifically refers to the person who commits a murder in Shogeg. He goes to a city of refuge. But for our purpose, we have in this pasuk a description of exile and death. Why? Bivli das v'ein das elatura. Shenemar nidmu ami mibli hadas. From the Rashi points out that the continuation of this pasuk is v'tishkach toras elokecha. Now that continuation explains that when it says mibli hadas, without das, it's without the das of Torah, without Torah knowledge. So that two talmidei chachamim that can't cooperate with one another in terms of halacha. As Rav Ilo said, one is mace and the other is goyla. We have a new marking scheme. You can see on the side under our nosei / mivne heading. The nosei is the topic heading. This double underline marking, meimros be'inyan talmidei chachamim ha'oseik b'torah, be'inyan talmud chacham ha'oseik b'torah mitoch hadchak. These are comments that have as their common denominator, Torah scholars that continue learning Torah, continue dedication to Torah, even though their financial situation is one of great limitation. Omar Rav Yehuda Brei Rav Chiya, Kol Talmud Chacham Ha'oseik B'Torah Mitoch Hadchak, anyone who engages in Torah study, even though his financial situation is poor, Dachak means he's under constrictions, pressure. Tfiloso nishmas, his prayers will be heard. Shenemar ki am betzion yeshev Yerushalayim b'choy lo yisivke chanoin yochnecha l'koil zakecha kisham osoy onach. Uksiv basrei, and after that pasuk it says v'nosan lochem Hashem lechem tzar v'mayim lachatz. So Rashi, in referring to this pasuk, he says ki am b'tzion yeshev elu yoshvei yeshivas Torah. This am b'tzion yeshev, the nation that dwells in Zion, is a reference to those who sit in the study of Torah. And the continuation of the pasuk says chanon v'seifei dekro chanon yochnecha l'kol zakecha. That's a reference to the prayers being heard. And the continued quote was Lechem Tsar, Rashi says, B'mi HaKosuv Medaber, this pasuk that speaks about those that are sitting in the study of Torah, and that the Almighty hears their prayers, who is it talking about? B'mi HaKosuv Medaber, Misha Mezeinos of Koshinolov, V'afalpikein Yoshev Oisei B'tar, is a reference to people that are having a hard time with their income, and nevertheless they continue their Torah study. So, as Rav Ilo said, people like that that sacrifice their personal comfort, they sacrifice, I will say, other income opportunities for the sake of Torah study, they merit having their prayers heard. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Avo Omer, Masbien Oisoi Miziv Shechina. Masbien, from word Sova, they merit being receiving becoming satisfied, being filled with the glory of the divine presence. Shenemar, the pasuk in that same context says, "V'hoyu einecha roi ois es morecha," and your eyes will behold your master. Rabbi Acha bar Chanina Omar, "Af ein hapargoid ninal befonav." This means that the pargod is the block or the wall. Rashi says the mechitza, the partition that separates from the inner sanctum to outside of that holy domain. The pargod will not be locked in front of a Talmud Chacham who is oisik b'tor mitoch hadchak. Shenemar, the pasuk continues, it's all from the same context, so we know who we're talking about. It says, V'lo yikonef od morecha. And in order to appreciate this, again, we look at Rashi. Lo yikonef means, lo yiskase mimcha bechnaf bigdo umechitzaso. The divine presence will not hide itself, will not cover itself from you, and thereby not create a partition between the Talmud Chacham and the Divine Presence. Rav Shimon Miyom Leomer Mishum Rav Yeshua Miyom Shechor Beis HaMikdash Ein V'chule. There isn't a day whose curse is not worse than the previous day. Omar Rava B'chol Yom V'yom Merubo Kilosam Yishel Chaveru. Every day has more curse in it than the previous day. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Baboker tomar mi yitain erev, uvaerev tomar mi yitain boker." In the morning, you will say, "Who would only give that it be the evening?" And in the evening, he will say, "Who would it be that? Who would give it that we should have the morning?" Well, hey, boker. So let's say you're in the evening, and you say, "Oh, it should only be the morning." Well, which morning are you talking about? This pasuk is in the context of a desperate, dismal situation. So, which morning are you longing for? Hilemo boker de lamochar. If you're in the evening and you're waiting for the next morning, well, mi yoda mai have. Why would you hope for something that you don't know the likes of what it will be? Maybe it'll be worse. Ella de cholif. The past morning. So you're in the evening, and you feel that it's really bad, and you're only wishing that it could be like the past morning, which was better. So that you see, as time goes on, one day gets worse than the next. Of course, the evening represents the next day, so that when you've reached the next day, you're recognizing that the day before was better, and that's what you were hoping for. V'elo alma amai ko mekayim. If it's such a degenerating situation, so upon what does the world continue to exist? Answer: Akedusha de Sidra va Yehe Shmei Rabo de Agadita. It's in the merit of these two elements. Kedusha de Sidra, we take a look at the Rashi. Akedusha de Sidra, Seder Kedusha, Shalom Tiknua Elishu, Kol Yisrael Oiskim B'Tor B'Chol Yom, Dover Muat, Shomer Kriyosa V'Targumo, V'Hein Ka Oiskim B'Torah. You're probably, many of you are probably familiar with this in the prayer that we say in the latter part of the morning services. We call the prayer of Uvolitzion. And in that prayer, you have the Kedusha that is familiar to many of you. Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzivokos, Maloi Choros, Kavodo. And you also have the Pasuk, Boruch, Kavod, Hashem, Yim Kamo. And along with that, each one of those psukim, there appears also the Aramaic explanation, the Aramaic translation of that in that particular passage. With that being said, so Rashi says that it makes it such that it's that the Jewish people are ka'oiskim b'Torah, v'kivan shenoyig b'chol Yisrael, since it's something that's common to all of the Jews, b'tamidim u'ba'amei aretz, equally to scholars and to the ignorant, but they're all saying it. V'yesh kan shtayim, you have here Kedushas Hashem, the Talmud HaTorah, you have the sanctification of God's name in those passages, and you also have it's a portion of Torah study. Chavivu, it becomes very much endeared to the Almighty. V'chein yehei shmei rabba mevorach sho'inim achar hagodo shadar shem derish b'rabba mochol Shabbos, the public lecturer, many times it was the rabbi of the community, would hold forth on a public lecture on Shabbos in Agadic literature. Agada is that section of Torah which contains within it, we'll say, more story-like teachings, parables, and the public, larger numbers of people are attracted to that. And it was practiced every Shabbos that you would have such a lecture. It wasn't a work day, so people could come. And again, you have Torah study, and you have the Yehei Shmei Rabo Mivorach, the great name of the Almighty shall be blessed. You have Kiddush Hashem as well. The Gemara continues. Shenemar, there's a pasuk that points this out. It says Eretz Ofso Kemoy Oifeld Samovas Velo Sedorim. The pasuk describes a world that is dark and that is in the shadow of death. When is that? When there's no Sedorim. Ha Yesh Sedorim. Tofia me oifel, it will emerge forth from the oifel, from the darkness. And the Sidorim are the, what Rashi says, Sidrei Parshis de Torah, the sections of Torah study that we just explained, we just saw through Rashi. So when you have the Kiddush of the Sidra, and you have the public Shabbos lectures, and the Kaddish that's recited afterwards, the Kaddish prayer that has within it the penultimate phrase Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach, that is what sustains the world. It brings it forth from darkness. V'lo yorad tal livrocha v'nital tam aperos. This we saw in the Mishnah that after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, there was no more dew that was of a bountiful nature, and the taste of fruits was removed. Tanya Reb Shimon ben Elozer Omer Taro Botlo Tam Vereach. With the bittul of Taro, with the with the let's say the end of diligence with regard to laws of ritual purity. So along with the loss of ritual purity, there came the loss of taste of fruits and their pleasant smell. Meiser Bitel Shuman Dogan, and with the stoppage of observing the laws of Meiser tithing, so there no longer was the richness in the grains. Rav Huna Ashkach Tumrasa Dechi Nu Nisa. Rav Huna found a certain kind of date. Tamrasa Tomar is a date, and this is a Dechi Nu Nisa, Rashi says, was a rich date, and it had a certain odor to it. He took it, shokla, korcha, the Gemara goes on, shokla and korcha, it means he took it, korcha, besudri, wrapped it in his sudar, which is a turban, or he wrapped it in cloth. Also, Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, came along, omale, murchina recha de chinunisa. Rabba says to his father, I smell the scent of this, of the date. Omar lei, so Rav Huna said, Bini taro yeshboch. You have within you purity. We saw just before that the inability to perceive the smell of fruits was because of the lack of tara. He who was able to perceive the scent emitted from this date, even though it was wrapped up, that's a sign that this Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, was a person who was very careful in the realm of the laws of ritual purity. Yahavo nihale. So father, Rav Huna, gave him, the son, the date. Adahachi also Abba Bray. Abba is a name. In the meantime, the son of Rabba, or if you prefer, Rav Huna's grandson, came by. Shokla Yahavo nihale. Rabba, middle generation, gave it to Abba. Abba, which was his son. Amalei, so Rav Huna, the grandfather, says, Bini, he says to his son, Rabba, Samachta es libi, Vekisa es shinai. You've made me happy with the revelation of your tahara, of your pureness, but you also weakened my teeth. That's a literal translation. Rashi says, "V'kisa shine shirisani shavoscha albincha yoser me'olai shenatalta mimeni v'nasata lo." By your behavior, by your actions, you're showing me that your affection for your son is greater than your affection for me. In so far as you took that which I gave you, and you gave it to your son. Well, the Gemara says, "Hainu damri inchi." It's as in accordance with this, there's a common saying, "Rachmi de abo aboni, rachmi de boni, a boni de havulei." Rachmi is the love. The love of a father is upon his son, and the love of the son is upon his own sons. Another story that has this theme to it. Rav Acha Bar Yankov Itpal Bei Rav Yankov Bar Bray. Rav Acha Itpal means he raised his grandson. He raised his grandson in his house. This was Rav Acha's grandson was a grandson through Rav Acha's daughter. So it's Rav Acha's daughter's son. He Godal Amalei Ashkin Maya, when the grandchild became older, so the grandfather Rav Acha says, "Can you bring me a cup of water?" Amalo Lav Brichano, I'm not your son. In other words, I'm your grandson, and I don't owe you the same level of respect that I would owe my father. Vahainu the Amri Inchi. It's in accordance with this, the people say, Ravi, Ravi, Bar Bartoch, Ano. Or you could read this as we're reading it as Ravi. Rashi says, Godel, Godelosi, or Gadelosi. Ravi is the equivalent of the word raise me. However, I am your daughter's son, and as such, I'm not obligated to respect you as a son would be obligated. The Mishnah continues with the, we'll say, the general theme of that which we've been seeing in the recent Mishnayos, lowering the descent of the society, and different restrictions that set in as a result of the progress of time. From the destruction of the period of time associated with the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Befumus shaspis aspesianis gozru al atoros chasanim valhoirus. During the armies of Aspasianus. Aspasianus, one of the Roman generals toward the end of the second Beis Hamikdash period. There was the destruction was imminent, and there was great degeneration that had set in, and the rabbis ruled against Apshus Chasanim, and that will be explained further in the Gemara, and Irus as well will be explained in the Gemara. So as a result of the dismal situation as time progressed, so there were more and more restrictions that were instituted by the rabbis. Befumus Sheltitus Gozru al Atrus Kalus Veshelo Yilameid Odom Es Benoi Ivonis. Upon the onset of the armies of Titus, so there was a ruling to restrict the Atrus Kalus. Chasanim were men getting married, and Kalus are the brides. And a ruling that there should be no teaching of one's children, Yevonis. Yevonis is associated with Greek. We can't explain too much yet. We have to leave room for the Gemara to embark on its discussion on what this restriction really was. Befumus Ha'achron, in the final battle, and Rashi says this was the actual Churban that was also... The Churban is the destruction, which was also overseen by Titus. So that Titus, in this Mishnah, is referred to twice. There was an initial appearance of Titus, and then the final appearance of Titus. At that point, Gozru Shalotetze Hakala Ba'apirion B'Sochair. The rabbis restricted brides being carried on a palanquin within the city. The Rabbeinu Hatiru Shetetzer Kala Ba'apirion B'Sochair. However, later they ruled that the Kala, the bride, can be carried on the palanquin within the city. The palanquin, for those who are not familiar, it's a means of conveyance that's made of a closed litter that is carried by men on poles. The Mishnah continues, and here we have a double underlining series marking that on the side you can see under the Mivneh heading Mishames, from the point of death of, and we'll have a number of great luminaries and what ensued afterward after their death. Has Hitbatlut Dvorim Shonim B'Misosam Shel G'dolim Shonim, the stoppage of different things upon the death of various great leaders. The Gemara continues. The Mishnah, that is, Mishames Rabbi Meir, with the death of Rabbi Meir, Botlu Moshle Misholim. That was the end of the era of those people who taught using parables. Rabbi Meir was famous for the parables that he used in his Torah lectures. Rashi makes reference to an example of that from Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, and his shiurim, his lectures were divided into, actually divided into thirds. One third was of a strictly halachic nature, the other third was agoda, and the other third were parables. Mishemes ben Azai botlu hashagdonim. Upon with the death of Ben Azai, truly, I can't say dedicated, that's not an accurate description, but a shakdan is someone who learns Torah without any breaks, who is the constant uninterrupted study of Torah, that's a shakdan. So with his death, that was the end of the true shakdonim. He was so involved with his Torah study that in Maseches Yevomis, when asked, why don't you get married and raise a family? So Ben Azai said, what can I do? Nafshi choshka b'Torah. My soul, my spirit has such an intense desire for Torah, and as a result of that, he couldn't pull himself away from actual constant Torah study to engage in other activities, including the great mitzvah of raising a family. Mishemes ben Zoma batlu hadarshanim. With the death of Ben Zoma, that was the end of the darshanim. Now Rashi says darshanim. What does that mean? Shoyaboki b'tame hamikros. He had expertise in the understanding, explanation of scriptures, of verses of the Tanakh. Kedomer lo zochisi sheteomer yisias mitzrayim balevos ad shedrosha ben Zoma. That we see, that might be familiar to you if you either you know the Mishnah in Maseches Brachos or from the Haggadah of Pesach, where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, in his argument with the rabbis, is there a need to recite Kriya Shema at night? And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was of the opinion that yes, but he was in the minority, until Ben Zoma came and darshaned the Pasuk. Through his explanation of the Pasuk, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah found an ally. So Ben Zoma is the paradigm of darshanim. With his death, that was the end of that level of drosha capability. Mishemes Rabbi Akiva botol kovod haTorah. With the death of Rabbi Akiva, there ceased to be the ultimate honor of Torah. What is the honor of Torah that characterized Rabbi Akiva? He derived halachas from letters, not just words of the Torah, but letters, what would appear to be extra letters, and they're not extra because they're revealing points of law, but from what would appear to be an extra letter, he saw a basis for halachic rulings. When one understands that here you're dealing with a work, the Torah, where there isn't a single extra letter, needless to say, extra word, that brings great honor and reverence for the Torah. The Mishnah continues, Mishemes Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa Botlu Anshe Maisa. With the death of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, there came an end to Anshe Maisa. What are Anshe Maisa? Really, one would need to have studied Maseches Tainus to appreciate this all the more. He was a person that had an exceptionally high level of faith and trust in the Almighty. He also was a man who lived in extreme poverty, and all that combined, Rashi says, Anshe Maisa Botuach Bechashivuso Veoise Maisa Mufloyim. He was confident about how he was perceived in heaven. He was sure of himself to the extent that he would even do what would ordinarily we'd call miraculous things, but he was able to do it because the way I put it is that he lived above nature. Natural living involves yielding to one's tendencies. A person is hungry, so he seeks out food. A person is tired, so he seeks out his sleep. He overcame these tendencies. And because he was one who was able to, in addition to great Torah scholarship, also lived a life of, we'll call above the natural tendencies of man, so he merited having events that were above the laws of nature transpire for his benefit in his presence. Anshei Maisa, that's people that were capable of doing wondrous acts as a result of their certainty in how they're regarded in heaven. Mishemeis Rabbi Yossi Katanta Pasku Hasidim. With the death of Rabbi Yossi Katanta, there came an end to the exceptionally pious ones. V'loma nikra shmo Katanta. Katanta means small. Why was he called that? Shaya Katanta Shel Hasidim. He represented the end, the end of that era where there was a period of decline until his time, and he represented the smallest of those exceptionally pious people. Mishemeis Rabon, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Botel Ziv HaChochma. With the death of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, there ended the radiance of wisdom. Regarding Ziv HaChochma, Rashi says, Lo Yodana Mai, I don't know what that is. The Mishnah goes on, Mishemeis Rabon Leo HaZokain, Botel Kovar Atura, Umeso Tara Uprishas. With the death of Rabbi Gamliel the elder, there came an end of Kavod HaTorah. Now here there's a different aspect of Kavod HaTorah than that which we referred to before with regard to Rabbi Kiva. Kavod HaTorah here was a reference to that until his days, people had the strength to learn Torah while standing. There was no sitting. All their Torah learning was while standing. When he came, upon his death, There descended an element of weakness into the world, and that Kavod HaTorah, that glorification of Torah, was no longer a part of their daily life. And there also came an end to Tara, purity, and precious abstinence. Mishameis Rabbi Shmuel ben Pavi, Botla Ziv Hakuna. With the death of Rabbi Shmuel, who was himself was a Kohen, there came to then the glory, the radiance of the priesthood. Rashi says, "Botel ziv hakuna shaya chacham ve'oshir v'kayin rabim oichem al shulchano." He was a scholar. He was wealthy, and he hosted many kohanim around his table. And mishemeis Rebbe botel anova v'yiraschet. With the death of Rebbe, there came to an end two characteristics, humility and fearing of sin. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer Omer, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash. Here we have another series marking, the bow tie shape. And on the side, you can see we've highlighted the bow tie number one, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash. It's one expression that's highlighted upon the destruction of the temple. And a second expression is highlighted, Be'ikvos Mishicha. In the ikvos, literally the footsteps of the Moshiach, which is a reference to what many will call the end of time, the end of days. It's a period of time which precedes, it's the end of the Golos before the coming of the Moshiach. So we continue. Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer taught, Mishachor Beis HaMikdash Boshu Chaverim Uvnei Churin V'chofu Rosham V'nidaldulu Anshei Maisa V'govru Balei Zroa U'Balei Loshon. With the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Chaverim are people that are diligent with regard to tithing and laws of purity. They no longer held their heads high. They experienced shame. And B'nei Choron are people that come from pure pedigree. And the Chofu Rosham is also an expression of embarrassment. Rashi says, Chofu Rosham, Shegovro Yad Azei Ponim, Amzerim, Shem Ashirim, Ve'elu Aniyim. The brazen the chutzpahdik, they ascended to be on high. They became the wealthy, and these, the chaverim and the bnei choren, became the impoverished. And that's what v'nidaldalu anshe maisa. That's nidaldalu means impoverishment. Rashi says nidal she maisa ein choshlem. No one had any regard anymore for anshe maisa. Anshe maisa. We saw with Rabbi Chanin ben Doisa botlu anshe maisa. So we have a sense of who they were. These were people that had lived in great abstinence and in self-imposed restrictions. These people were no longer held in regard. The Govru Bali Zroa and Bali Loshen, and the strong-armed and the people with the slippery tongues, they experienced increased strength. V'ein Doresh, V'ein Mevakesh, V'ein Shoel. There were no one sought out the welfare of the Jewish people. No one prayed for them, for mercy for them. And similarly, Ein Shoel, no one asked about their welfare. Ami lanu lishayin alavinu shebashamayim. Upon whom can we rely? On our Father in heaven. Belozer Agodol Omer, miyom shechor beis hamikdash shoru chachimaya lemeve kisafraya. In his teaching, you're going to see every position, every level of individuals, from the great to the lesser than great, each group descended a step. So from the time of the Churban Abayis, Shoru means they started. Shoru Chachimaya, the scholars, this is the highest segment of the Jewish people, they became like Kisafraya. Safraya were like elementary school educators, called Malamdei Tinokes, people that taught children. So great Torah scholars were then regarded as teachers of children. And the Safraya Kechaznaya, and those who were Malamdei Tinokes, they went down a level to be considered, were perceived or beheld like Chaznaya. Chaznaya, Chazon, these are people that were responsible for different, let's say, activities and procedures in shul services and prayers. And the Chaznaya, Ke'amo De'ara, and the Chazonim at this time, with the destruction of the temple, were considered like the ignorant. The Amo De'ara and the Amo Ya'aretz, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Oslo, the Dildala, they continued on a downward spiral, deteriorating more and more. V'ein Shoel, V'ein Mevakesh, Almi Yesh Lishoyin, upon whom can we rely? Alavinu Shebashamayim. And with a sharp, let's say, turn or contrast, Be'ikvis Mashicha, up till now we were describing the period of time following the destruction of the temple, and now we fast forward to the end of time before the arrival of the Mashiach. Here we have the Chazal. For lack of any a better expression, I have to say, with the power of prophecy, prophetic statements appear here. This is a text we're reading now, a Gemara, whether it's part of Tanaic literature or Talmudic literature, dating back at least 1800 years, at least as far as at the time of this recording, and listen to the description of what they who lived 1700, 1800 years ago are saying about what's called the end of time. And if we view ourselves as during if you're listening to this recording as it's being made, so we're at a time that would be described by many gedolim as ikvois Mashiach. What's described? Chutzpah yazge. Yazge means increase. Chutzpah is a word that everyone understands what that is. Great chutzpah. Chutzpah will be on the increase. V'yoker yamir. Yoker, expense. Things will be expensive. And yoker yamir means great increases in inflation and prices. Hagefen titein piryo, v'yayin biyoker. Oftentimes people associate expense, high costs, due to lack of the availability of that given product. But not so over here. There will be the Gefen Titein Piryo, the vines will produce its fruit, means grapes will be growing, and wine will be expensive. And Rashi says, Shakol Oiskim B'Mishtos, a lot of drinking taking place, a lot of wine drinking. Umalchus, and the government, the leadership, Teofech Laminus, will be a leadership of non-believers, Minus are those that reject the Torah and its teachings. V'ein Toichocha. I'm reading Toichocha, that's the word you see in the Rashi here in our text. It's spelled with a tuf at the end. V'ein Toichocha, Rashi says, Ein lucha odom shiyucha lochiach. There's no one that can chastise. We're talking about a generation where there is not any, no one will have the ability to chastise. Shekulam nichsholim bechatos. Everyone falls upon sin. Ukshimochichin. If someone will attempt to chastise, Omer lo, the listener will say, Atokamoni, you're no better than I am. The Gemara continues. Beis vad yen liznus. What's a beis vad? Beis vad is a place where Torah scholars used to gather. Those places will turn into places of harlotry. There'll be no more chachamim, no more, very few people studying Torah, and to fill the void, you'll have this lewdness and prostitution taking over. V'hagolil yecharev. Golil is the northern region of Israel, will be in ruins. Gavlon, Yoshum. Gavlon is another geographic area, some associated with the area northeast of Israel proper. Yoshum, Shmoma, means will be in desolation. V'anshe Hagvul, Yesovavu, Meir Le'ir, the people that dwelled on the borders will wander from city to city, velo yichoninu, and no one will have any mercy for them. V'chachmos soifrim tisrach, the wisdom of Torah will be ridiculed. V'yirei chet yimasu, people who are sin-fearing individuals, they will be disdained. V'emes te nederes, and the truth. Now the word ne'ederes, there's several interpretations. The simple interpretation is the truth will be hidden. Ne'edar, something that's hidden, not visible. Another explanation, ne'ederes is adorim adorim. Adorim means flux. The truth won't be concentrated in any one group. Every different segment of society, every segment of the Jewish people has a little truth. So it's the truth will be fragmented. Ne'orim p'nei zikenim yalbinu. The youth will insult the elderly. Zikenim yamdu mipnei ktanim. The old will rise up in front of the youth. One might see this phenomenon in public transportation, where young people are occupying seats, while people many times their age are left standing. Ben menavil av, a son will insult his father, will have no honor for his father. Bas koma bima, a daughter will rise up against her mother. Kala b'chamosa, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Oyveish anshei beso, the enemies of a man will be anshei beso, literally the members of his household. But in other Gemaras, you find the term anshei beso referring to one's wife. So that men, the enemies of men will be their wives. Pnei hador kepnei hakelev, the face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. And if you think about the characteristics of a dog, those characteristics will be those of the of that generation of Ikvas Mashiach. A dog has no concept of shame. It has no concept of fear or respect, for that matter. You'll find a little dog like a Chihuahua barking its head off in front of people that are many, many times its size, or in front of other dogs, for that matter, that are many, many times their size. But that's the nature of the dog. It has no regard for superior figures, for more honorable figures. And haben eino mizbayish me'oviv, a son will have no embarrassment from his father. Al ma yesh lanu lishan, upon what can we rely in light of all of this rather dismal, decadent society? What is there to rely on? Halavinu sheba shamayim, upon our Father in heaven. The topic that will be discussed here is bitul atoros. Mishnah made reference to the stopping of atoros. We saw atoros Chasanim, Toros Kalois, and we have a triangle marking. It's featured on the sign under the Mivneh, Deos Be'eza Atoros Nesru. There's different opinions as to what was being prohibited when the Mishnah said that the Puponis, the Pulmus Shelas Vesianis Gozru al Atoros Chasanim. What was being voided or prohibited? Omar Rav lo shanu elo shel melach vegofris, avo shel hadas v'shel vered mutar. So now we take a look at the Rashi. Shel melach vegofris, inyan haTorah oisin me even shel melach, rock salt, shoot solul. If you've ever seen rock salt, you'll notice it's certainly translucent. It's kevin habdolach, the Koran, that French word. And this, what they would do is vitzoyven oisa kemin sirim begofris. They would use gofris, which is a certain mineral that was used for coloring things. Kishem sheoisin beklizov v'kesef shekoran, that French word. So the atoros that were restricted were atoros that were made of melach and colored with gofris. We didn't explain, but the atorah is a type of crown that the chasanim, the grooms, would wear. So Rav tells us that which was banned was the atoros made of rock salt and painted with gofris. Avol shel hadas v'shel vered mutter, but crowns made of myrtle branches and vered flowers, that would be allowed. Ushmul amar af shel hadas v'shel vered osur, even those were banned. Shel konim v'shel chilas mutter, however, crowns made of reeds and chilas. Chilas is a type of, Rashi says, kamin guma hagodol b'mayim. Guma is also a type of reed that grows in the water. So you have konim would be shoots that grow out of water, and chilas are shoots that reeds that grow in water. Crowns fashioned from those materials are acceptable. The Levi Omar af shel konim v'shel chilas osur, even those materials were not allowed anymore. V'chein toni Levi b'masnisei, Levi included in his Tanaic literature. Levi was an author of Brisos, And in his brisa, he specified af shel konim v'shel chilas oser. Even the crowns made of konim and chilas material were prohibited from the as the Mishnah said, from pumus shel aspasianus. V'al ho'irus. What else was banned at this time? Irus. My irus. What is that? Omar Rebbe Lozer. Tavlo dechad puma. Rashi, tavlo dechad puma, zug shel inbal, echod. Shemekashishin bo, l'shir bebesim ishtos. What it seems to me from Rashi that we're talking about a bell. A bell that was used for musical purposes in Beis HaMishtos, a place where people would drink. Maybe today we'd call them bars. The Gemara continues. Rabo Baravuna Ovadle Librei Tenbura. Rabo, the son of Ravuna, made for his son a Tanbura. Rashi Kach Kurn Oso Beloshemas Tanbur. Today you might call this a tambourine. Now, what is this instrument? Rashi describes how it was made. Vu osui defanoisov agulos kein napo. It was it had a round wall to it, like a sifter. The koshrin bidefanoisov chutim shel barzel, and they would tie some metal thread to the walls. V'shoitchen al piv or kishulach, and they would take some skin, leather skin, when it was still fresh, stretch it over this round frame, u'moteach, and draw it taut. V'hu misyabe shom me'elov, and in that location where you stretch the fresh skin, it would dry. U'kshemakin alov v'makil dak, hu motzikom, when you would beat it with a narrow or thin stick, it would produce a sound. Cold soul, a shrill sound. The yesh umanim shiyodim lahakislav maka acharmaka kaseder ach nishma kemin shir. And there were those who were expert at playing this, that by hitting away with it, like drumming upon it with many hits, it would then produce a musical sound. So we see in the Gemara that Rabbo made for his son a tanbura. Also, Avua, it would seem to me that Rav Huna came along, Tavrei, he came and smashed it. Amarle says, you can't make that. Michlif betavla bechad puma. If you use that, people will think that you can use a tavla dechad puma. We saw a bell. People will confuse the two. Zil ovid lei apuma de chatzva o apuma de kapiza. If you want to make an instrument, so take the skin, take the fresh skin, stretch it over a chatzva, a barrel, or a kapiza. It's a smaller kind of barrel. It holds a 3 lug. So that way you can make an instrument and it won't be confused with the tavla de chad puma. The fumus shel titus gozru al atros kalas. My atoros kalas, Omar Rabo Barachano, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, ir shel zahov. The crown worn by a bride is better known as ir shel zahov. Tanya Nami Hochi, a brisa that supports this, ezu atoros kalas, what is meant by atoros kalas, ir shel zahov. Rashi says, Ir Shelzov, Atora Shelzov was a golden crown, V'ir Shelzov Mitzuyeres Olea, and a city, a type of city, or the like a skyline of a city was drawn on it. So that is restricted. Avol Oisa Oisa Kipo Shel Milas. However, you can make a type of head hat made of mila. Milas is wool. A woolen type hat that she could wear, that's okay. Tana af al chupas chasanim gozru. The Brisa says that they even made a ruling against chupas chasanim. My chupas chasanim, what is that? Zahoris hamuz havois, and Rashi explains Zahoris hamuz havois, talis tzvua shoni. Talis is a large garment that's dyed with shoni. It's a type of dye, red dye. Ubo kivuim tosim zahav, and they would implant on this dyed talis golden plates. Ad shemamidim oisa kemin kippa. It would then take on the form of a type of canopy, a type of dome. A kippa is a dome, an arch or a dome. And we continue in our Gemara. Tanya nami hochi elu hein chupas chasanim zahoris hamuz havois, as the Gemara itself explained. Aval oisa pafiris v'teile bo kol mashi yirtze. An alternative that is acceptable is the papyrus. Rashi says, "Avol oisehu prefer kemin kippa shel maagole eitz kemosha anu oisim." It's a type of canopy structure, around a dome canopy structure that's made of wood slats that are circular wood slats. Like we do, v'toilin ba tznifin uredide zav kamo she'anu oisim. Rashi again makes reference to things that we do, meaning in the time of Rashi, these were things that they were familiar with, and they would suspend from it toilin ba kol mashiyot. So they could, once you made the basic canopy out of the wood slats, so you can then dangle from it, hang from it, whatever you like. V'shelo yilamed es beno yivonis. It's also a restriction in teaching one's son yivonis. Now the background to that. Tonu rabbanan kishitzaru malchei beis chashmonei zalzeh. The Hasmonean family, even though it started out as a wonderful group of people, we have a holiday of Hanukkah that commemorates their successes. As time went on, the Hashmonoi Kohen group divided into two, say, subdivisions. And they're called the Hasmonean Kings, the Hasmonean Dynasty. Hayahurkinis mibachutz v'aristablus mibifnim. These are the names of the two families, the Hurkinis family and the Aristablus family. The Hurkinis were outside the Beis HaMikdash, and these families had great contempt for one another. They were essentially at war with one another. The Hurkinis was outside, and Aristablus, they gained ascendancy and occupied the inner workings of the Beis HaMikdash. B'chol yom b'yom hoyo mishalshalin dinrin b'kupa umalin lohen tamidim. Every day, Aristablus from within would lower, maybe with pulleys, they would lower coins for payment. They would lower them in a box, and the money was used to buy animals. And after the money was taken from the box, they would then replace that with tamidim, with the daily sacrificial animals, and they would then hoist them up and into the Beis HaMikdash. Hoya sham zokein echad shoya makir b'chokhmas yivonis. There was within the Beis HaMikdash, there was some old man that was familiar with this thing called Chochmas Yivonis. Chochmas Yivonis, Rashi says, Loshon Chachoma Shemedabrin Bo B'nei Paltin V'ein Shar O Makirin Bo. It's a form of communication, maybe. It's speech, they would talk, but it was some kind of speech that only the aristocratic understood. General population people would not understand this. So there was an old man inside that knew Chochmas Yivonis. Loaz Lohem b'Chochmas Yivonis. He communicated to those outside the Beis HaMikdash in this particular tongue, if you will, called Chochmas Yivonis. Omar Lohem, the old man says, Kozmansha Oiskim Bavuda. He says to the guys outside, you should know that as long as those of us inside are preoccupied with the daily Beis Hamikdash ceremony and ritual and sacrificial procedure, Ein Nimsarim Biyadchem. They will not be given over into your hands. You will not gain ascendancy. Lamochar, while the next day upon hearing that, Shilshilu Lehem Dinarim Bekupo, as was the common practice, there was lowered down to the outside money in a box, and instead of sending up kosher animals for sacrifices, Vehelu Lohem Chazir, they put a pig in the box. Kevon Shigia Lechatzi Choyma, as they were hoisting up the box, or the pulley with the pig on it, when it reached halfway up the wall, Noat Sipornov B'choymo, it wedged its toenails into the wall, and is Dazea Eretz Yisrael Arba Meyaz Parsa Al Arba Meyaz Parsa. It was a cataclysmic event, and the land of Israel shook. These are distances and quantities that are symbolic of something catastrophic. 400 parsa by 400 parsa. Oysa Shah Amru. At that time, the scholars ruled, Orur Odom Shigadel Chazerim. Cursed be one who raises pigs. The Orur Odom Shilame Livno Chochmas Yivonis. And cursed be the one that teaches his son Chochmas Yivonis, that form of communication. The Al Oysa Shah Shoninu. And it was with regard to that time, that time historically, that these Hasmonean families were warring with one another. Maise uba oimer migagas strifin ushtealechem mibikas ein socher. The omer, which is a barley grain offering every year, it's offered in the Beis Hamikdash on the 16th of Nisan. It's supposed to come from fresh barley grains. In other words, they're supposed to actually harvest fresh barley grains, bring the fresh barley grains to the Beis Hamikdash. If you bring grains from afar, so by the time they get to the Beis Hamikdash, it's not going to be fresh anymore. Gagas Trifon was a place far, far away from the place they would ordinarily bring the Omer, from near the Beis Hamikdash. As a result of these families warring with one another, the fields around Yerushalayim were burnt. They were destroyed. And they had no choice but to go to retrieve barley grains for the Omer offering from a place far away. And likewise, with regard to Shtei Lechem, that's the wheat loaves that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash on Shavuos, the flour for that, the wheat for that, was brought from Bikas Ein Socher. It's the name of a location, once again, far away from where they used to bring them. The Gemara asks, you're telling me that there's a prohibition of Yevonis. Eini v'ama Rebbe be'eretz Yisrael, but loshem sursi lama. In the land of Israel, why speak in the sursi tongue? Sursi tongue is some kind of a language that's similar to Aramaic, and Rashi says that he thinks that the Yerushalmi Talmud is in that tongue. So it's called loshem sursi. Why that? Elo e loshen hakodesh e loshen yevonis, and we dashed in on the main point. You see that Rebbe, who lived certainly after this period of time that the Mishnah referred to, and he said yevonis should be the optimal language, or of course loshen hakodesh, which we sometimes call Hebrew. The Omer of Yosef beBovel. Loshon Arami Loma. In Bovel, why speak the Aramaic tongue? Ela oi loshon hakodesh, o loshon Parsi. These are considered more beautiful languages. So why why suffice with Sursi in Eretz Yisrael or Arami in Bavel? Well, the main point for us is that you see that Lashon Yevonis is not held in disdain. The Gemara answers Lashon Yevonis Lechud v'Chochmas Yevonis Lechud. They're two separate things. There's the Greek language, that's Mutter. But Chochmas Yevonis, this other form of communication that's called Chochmas Yevonis, that is what was prohibited. Question, V'Chochmas Yevonis Mi Asiro, is that really prohibited? V'Amar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Mishum Rav Shuman Ben Gamliel. It was said in the name of Rav Shuman Ben Gamliel, Mai Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, Eini Oilulo Lenafshi Mikol Benois Iri. The Pasuk is a Pasuk that is one of woefulness. Elif Yilodim Hoyu Beveis Abba. Shmuel says there were 1,000 children in father's household. Chamesh Meos Lomdu Torah. The Chamesh Meos Lomdu Chochmas Yevonis. And we dashed underline the main point here. Of the 1,000 children, 500 had studied Torah, and 500 had studied Chochmas Yevonis. And there's no one left from that family except myself, that's over here, and the son of my father's brother in a place called Asya. What we see from here is that Chochmas Yevonis was quite acceptable in the home of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who was the leader of the Jewish people at the time, that it was studied. The Gemara says, Shiny Shell Base Rav Gamliel. The household of Rav Gamliel is different. You can't bring proofs of acceptance from them. The Kroivim L'Malchus Havodei were government officials. They were the leadership of the Jewish people, and as such they had connections, they had communications, they interfaced with the heathen monarchy. And as we indicated earlier, this was a type of language, a form of communication that was, we'll say, elitist, that only the powerful used. So as such, since they were Kroivim L'Malchus, since they had to interface with the empire, with the kingdom, a special provision was made for them that they are able to pursue Chochmas Yevonis. Tisanya, Misaper Kumi, Misaper from the word Mispara or Misparayim, it has to do with a haircut. Kumi is a form, it's a type of haircut. Rashi describes it where they would shave the front part of their head and leave swaths of hair growing from the back of their heads. That type of haircut, Harei Zeh Midarkei HaEmori, that's an idolatrous type practice to shave your head in the Kumi fashion. Avtulus ben Reuven Hitiru Loi Lesaper Kumishu Korov Lamachus. This gentleman, Avtulus ben Reuven, a Jewish fellow, the rabbis allowed him to cut his hair in the Kumi fashion because he interfaced with the government. And there's a common saying, when you're amongst the Romans, do as the Romans do. And that idea is based on this, what you see over here, that when you have to interface with them, you have to look like them. Otherwise, you'll have no chance of being a successful representative of the Jewish people. Shobeis Rav Gamliel hitiru lahem chochmas yevonis meshekroivin lamalchus. And likewise, the family of Ravon Gamliel, who again were in leadership positions, they were allowed to pursue chochmas yevonis. But as far as the rank and file Jewish people, that was banned. And the roots of the ban were in the story that we read concerning the families of Aristobulus and Hyrcanus. Befumus Achron, Gozu Shlotetze Kalaba Piryon, Vuchle, my time. Why was this restriction imposed? That Nate Siusa, for purposes of modesty. There's you don't find any elaboration on that in the Rashi. It could be, if I will allow myself a I'll say a homemade explanation. We're dealing with a time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. This was the final battle leading to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And as such, it was a time to live in great modesty and not in any showy fashion. And hence, in at this point in time, they made a gzerah not to be carried in the apirion, the palanquin. Mishemesh Rabban Yochanan Botlo HaChochma Tonu Rabbanan. And you can see the double underline marking scheme highlighting Mishemesh Rebbe so-and-so. Mishemesh Rebbe Eliezer Nignaz Sefer Torah. With the death of Rebbe Eliezer, this is Rebbe Eliezer HaGodol. The source says it's as if the Sefer Torah was hidden away. Rebbe Eliezer was known for his knowledge of his teacher's Torah traditions. He was a Baal Shmuels, and his what came out of his mouth was a strict adherence to tradition, as if it was written out in a book. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where you see Rebbe Eliezer describing himself as if using terms, using things, using imagery as if he were a Sefer Torah. Mishemes Rebbe Yoshua Botla Eitza Umachshav. With the death of Rebbe Yoshua, there came an end to Eitza and Machshava. Rashi says Shoyazoyer B'drushus. He was very careful in his lectures, Uboki Malochus, and he was an expert in halachic traditions. And with his death, so counsel and thought came to an end. Mishemes Rabbi Akiva Botlu Zroei Torah. Rashi says Zroei Torah Olmek Svora V'Lismoch Tamei Torah Shebal Peh Al Midrashim Hamikros V'Osios Yuserim L'Shenus Hamishtanim V'Mikra. We saw this described earlier. There we saw the term Botlu Kovra Torah. Here the Gemara uses the term Zroei Torah, the arms of Torah. And as Rashi says, Rabbi Akiva was expert in the depth of analysis, of finding the basis of oral traditions in verses, what appear as extra letters, or changes in grammar that take place in psukim, changes in tenses, or in single versus plural. Rabbi Akiva saw in those Torah changes hints and references to oral traditions. And what else? The Gemara goes on, V'nistatmu mayonas achochman. The wellsprings of wisdom were sealed up. Mishemes Reb Lozer ben Azaria botlu atros chochma. She'ateres chachomim oshram. Reb Lozer ben Azaria was a very wealthy man, as is described in the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. And the Marsha explains that a man who's full of Torah and also has wealth will know how to use his wealth and know how to invest in the poor, charity, and that is a source of glory for a Torah scholar who happens to be wealthy. So with the death of Reb Lozer ben Azaria, that phenomenon of Atros Chochma, the crown of wisdom, ceased. And as we said, the crown of wisdom is you have your basic Talmud Chacham, and his glorification, if he is wealthy, is his proper charitable use of money. Mishemes Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa Botlu Anshe Maisa. We explained this earlier. Mishemes Abu Yosi ben Katunta Botlu Chasidim. And this too we explained earlier. V'loma nikro shmo Abba Yossi ben Kantunta. Why was he referred to as as Abba Yossi, the son of the small one? Shehoya mikatnei chasidim. There was constant decline in level of piety until reaching him. He was the least of the pious. He was very, very pious, but relative to those that preceded him, he's considered the smallest of them. Mishameis ben Azai, Botlu Hashagdonim. We also explained that earlier. Mishameis ben Zoma, Botlu Hadarshonim. Also explained earlier. Mishameis Reb Shlom Liel, Ola Govai, Verovu Tzoros. With the death of Reb Shlom Liel, there was an increase of Govai. Govai is a type of locust plague, and there was increase of Tzoros, of general suffering. Mishameis Rebbe Huchpulu Tzoros. With the death of Rebbe, there was a doubling of Tzoros, of troubles. Now, we saw in the Mishnah, Mishameis Rebbe Botlo Anova Viras Chet. With the death of Rebbe, there came an end to humility and fear of sin. Amar Lei Rav Yosef Latana. Rav Yosef says to the one who was reciting the Mishnah, who was, we'll see, expert in Mishnayos, Lo Sisni Anova. Don't refer to the extinction of humility with the death of Rebbe. Te'ika ano, there is I. Rabbi Yosef says, I have the characteristic of humility. Now, hearing that might cause a slight grin on some people's faces. What do you mean? You're saying, I am a humble person. Is that not itself a sort of self-compliment, expression of haughtiness? So the Marshal explains, first and foremost, Rav Yosef knew that in his daily conduct he was a humble person. And you cannot have an inaccurate statement left in the Mishnah. And therefore, even though there might be this tinge of non-humility in saying that, the alternative of leaving something that's simply inaccurate, that can't be accepted. Amalei Rav Nachman Latana, Lo Tisni Yiras Chet. Don't say that with the death of Rebbe there was no longer any fear of sin. Deikano, there is I. I am a fearer of sin. And with the same explanation in mind, the Marshal adds one point here. With regards to Rav Nachman, it wouldn't even be considered a statement of haughtiness to say, I am a Yorei Chet, when we saw above that in the Mishnah, in reference to the Ikfas Mashiach, that Yorei Chet's Yimasu, people who are Yorei Chet, will be the subject of disparagement. So by him saying, I am a Yorei Chet, he's basically saying, well, I am that, but I'm also then going to be the victim of disparagement. So there's no suspicion that he's trying to say something of, let's say, of haughtiness. It's noteworthy that Rav Yosef makes his statement with regard to Anova when the Gemara in Brochus describes Rav Yosef, because of his vast breadth of knowledge, he's called Sinai, like Mount Sinai, where the Torah was given. He had the breadth; he had a very broad knowledge of Torah. He's called in Brochus Daf Samach Dalet Sinai. It just so happens that Mount Sinai itself was a reflection of this attribute known as humility. Mount Sinai, the Gemara describes, was actually a very lowly mountain. It was basically perhaps a glorified hill relative to the great mountains of the world. And yet the Almighty decided to give the Torah specifically on Mount Sinai because of this, of that characteristic. And that the characteristic being one of humility. So it's quite appropriate that Rav Yosef, who is called Sinai, is also the one who embodies that particular characteristic of humility. We should all merit developing within ourselves these wonderful characteristics, and together with that self-improvement, merit the actual appearance, the coming forth of the Mashiach, and not just remain in the ikvisa de Mashiach. But before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur and the Masechta for today.